mentioned to you before that the Lord really kind of shifted my language from being a church that's for revival or a church of revival, that I want us to be a church in revival, to experience revival. And I pray that consistently for those in the nursery to the oldest persons in our church. And revival just is a restoration to normal. And I only have one standard for normality, and that's what I see in Scripture. In the life of Christ, the life of the apostles, and the life of the early church in the book of Acts. And so I want to see a restoration of normality, biblical normality. And so what I pray for often is that God give us a biblical measure of these things. I want our life be measured by Scripture. That's my theology. And so even though Jesus has broken through his resurrection and we're in him and into everything and every anointing, I want us to break through into experience. And so when praying for breakthrough, I'm not praying for us to get something we don't have. I'm praying for us to get something that we don't have. You with me? So that we can experience what we have. I've really been impacted a lot by that place and what we read a few weeks ago where it talks about David. When David, God defeated the Philistines, it says, and God broke through before me. But then in the Chronicles passage speaks of the same story. He says, God broke through at my hand. So one of the things that the Holy Spirit spoke to me about is that there are things that we participate in. God co-labors with us. There are ways that we partnership with the purposes and the will of God, where we posture ourselves so that God can do and manifest what he wants to do, our part in this life in Christ. So I've just been kind of asking the Lord to show me some things that can help us to posture ourselves for breakthrough into experience, so that we see a biblical measure of signs and wonders. We see a biblical measure of servant love, of the heart of Christ governing us in servant love. We see a biblical measure of the miraculous lifestyle, which is in holiness and in signs and wonders ministry. And so there's some things I believe that the Lord's been speaking to me about and showing me in Scripture concerning that. And several of those things would be this. One of the things that God has shown me is that we corporately, so this would be true personally, but I've been praying for things corporately, that we corporately would embrace a mindset that believes because we're in Christ, we're hardwired for a miraculous lifestyle, both internally and in ministry. And that we would all get that no matter what your specific assignment may be, we all carry a general assignment, and that is to bring heaven to earth. The other thing that the Lord has been speaking to me about is that to offer him a life of radical obedience that he'll obligate himself to. You remember a few weeks ago we did that from Song of Solomon chapter 7. And the Lord, it says there that the Lord was captivated by our surrendered heart, by the authority that we go forth in a surrendered heart. And the word captivated there is a Hebrew word that means to obligate. And again, though I can't obligate God to anything, he has chosen to obligate himself to show up in miraculous ways where he finds a radically obedient heart. The other thing is prayer. If you remember the story about the demon-possessed boy in Mark chapter 9 as well as Matthew 17, and in one of those places when they said, Lord, why couldn't we cast the demons out of this man, this boy, Jesus said, because of the littleness of your faith. He said, if you just had the faith of a mustard seed, then things could happen. But in the other passage, the other gospel, same story, they asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast the spirit out? And Jesus said, this kind only comes out. And the word kind there is a category of things that are impossibilities that kind of get past your rational ability to believe for, that seem bigger than normal. Like if you don't have a problem praying for headaches or things like that. But when it comes to cancer or things like that, it becomes like the big ones. He said, this kind, this category, literally, only comes out by prayer and fasting. And he wasn't saying that if you find somebody who's demon-possessed, go run off and fast for 3 days and then come back and pray for them. Although, bless their heart, for 3 days, I'm going to chain you to this bench, and you stay there, and I'll come back in 3 days. He's talking about a lifestyle of praying into the miraculous life that Christ wants to live in us and through us. And fasting, which we'll talk about not today, is part of that lifestyle of prayer and fasting. It's become, as I've gotten older, I've been more directed to do, short, quick, like fast 2 days a week kind of thing, like one day and then another day, instead of doing long fasts. So that's up to the Lord. That's the beginning point. But prayer and fasting, a lifestyle of prayer and fasting that's built on a lifestyle, a righteous lifestyle, because it says in James chapter 5 that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. So a life of prayer and fasting that's built on a righteous lifestyle. Not a perfect lifestyle. You with me? But like David, a heart that longs to please him in every way, that's going after that as your way of life. The other thing, and this is one I've been praying into for a long time, the Lord spoke this to me in Africa some years ago when we were watching amazing signs and wonders happen, is that God spoke to me about childlike faith. And I used to think, again, that I would see things happen in Africa, that miraculous things, because they were so poor. And God just honored their affliction. But then we saw the same kind of things happen in Brazil, maybe even at a higher level, percentage-wise, and yet the people we ministered to there weren't poor at all. And what I realized is that, but they both carried a simplicity of a childlike expectation. Childlike faith. Because God isn't impressed with desperation unless desperation gives birth to childlike faith. It's faith that moves God. And then with that childlike faith, I would say this other thing, and this goes together, is an atmosphere of praise. It's one of the reasons that I'm really glad that they did that song this morning, I praise before my breakthrough, till my song becomes my triumph, because that's in 2 Chronicles 20. When Jehoshaphat and Judah were faced with the three armies, and they were amazingly overwhelmed by numbers, and Jehoshaphat prays to the God, Lord, we are powerless against this great multitude. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And the God came and spoke to him. He says, don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Stand, station yourself, and see the salvation of God on your behalf. And then it says, as they began to praise and to give thanks to God, singing and praise, giving thanks to God, then there was a breakthrough that happened. The enemy routed himself, actually. And so an atmosphere of praise. That's why the day of the Epiphany, we have church that Sunday morning. That evening at 6:30, we're going to have a time of just coming together corporately and praising God for breakthrough. Amen? Now, all that leads me to this. The strangest Christmas season message you've ever heard. I want to talk to you about the gift of tongues. And in all the years that I think I was telling Olivia, all the years I've pastored this church, I mean, we talked about gifts and different things, but I'm not sure I ever did a sermon, just a sermon on the gift of tongues. So now let me just say this to you. Just like, you don't need to strap in. It's not going to be scary. If you've had a hard time manifesting that, I don't want you striving about it or worrying about it, working it, because that won't help any. But I do want you to hear this biblical thing, because I think it's really important. And I'm talking about it today because I believe it's part of the whole breakthrough thing. Alrighty? Now, there's a bunch of stuff that we could do and teach and talk about that I'm not going to spend time doing. or we'll get kind of down into the weeds and get lost in the weeds of all this. But if you turn to 1 Corinthians 14, we'll kind of hang out there. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, one of the things that you'll discover is that there are actually two separate gifts of tongues that serve two separate purposes. One is for the profit of the corporate body, and one is to profit the individual. Two separate things. And again, we can't spend a bunch of time looking at all that, or we will get lost in the weeds, and I want to do this thing today, not two parts of our Christmas season being on the gift of tongues. But one of the things, again, remind yourself of this. We're talking about the gift of tongues. It's a gift from God, so it can't be bad. Right? It's a gift from our Heavenly Father. To kind of understand some things, if you're going to go back on your own and do some study on this, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23, this is one of the interpretive keys to these few chapters. If, therefore, the whole church should assemble themselves together and all speak in tongues, verse 26, what is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble each other, each one has a psalm. Verse 6 of chapter 14. But now, therefore, if I speak to you in tongues, what shall I profit you? So when you talk about the gift of tongues, all the gifts, as a matter of fact, in these few chapters, you got to understand he's talking about in the context of when the body assembles together. So that you understand the difference between ministry gifts, that different people have different ones. Now, as a believer, because you're in Christ, you have everything that the Holy Spirit has. Because you're in union with Christ, because you're in union with the Holy Spirit. And therefore, any gift might manifest itself through any person at any strategic particular time. But everybody also has ministry gifts. And ministry gifts are also things like hospitality. And we're going to do a series on the gifts of the Spirit. You'll see how things like hospitality and giving and administration, leadership, helps. That manifests itself too when the body comes together. But it does also like during the week when we're living our life among each other. And when you talk about ministry gifts, people have different ministry gifts. That's the kind of dominant ministry they bring to the body of Christ, or one of the dominant things that they do. And those things can be manifested in different ways. Alrighty? And when the body comes together, you'll see a lot of the more verbal ministry gifts come forth. But not just the verbal gifts, again, as I said earlier. I don't want to get too lost in the weeds. But here's the point of the gifts. In verse 14, he says, but one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, consolation. Verse 4, there's the word edifies the church. Verse 5, that the church may receive edifying. Again, I mentioned this earlier. Verse 6, but now, brethren, if I speak to you in tongues, what shall I profit you? Profiting everybody. Verse 12, to abound for the edification of the church. Verse 17, for you are giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. Verse 26, the last part. Let all things be done for edification. So the Holy Spirit uses that word over and over again. Why? Because that's the point of it all. The gifts of the Spirit and the ministry gifts that we're given are not to make us look good. It's to minister to other people. It's for their building up. The word edification literally comes from two words, to build and house, to build the house. And so everybody has their own spiritual house. That's who you are. Your life is like a spiritual house. And the gifts of the Spirit are to help you build your spiritual house, be built up. Your spiritual walk, your spiritual life be built up. That's the gifts of the Spirit. And the gift of tongues can also do that. When you look at the gift of tongues, again, there are two purposes. The gift of tongues that comes forth by a person, and there is an interpretation of the gift of tongues, not a translation, but an interpretation That serves the same purpose prophecy does. And what Paul says in this chapter 14 is that if you speak in a tongue, like somebody stands up and gives a tongue in the ministry time that we allow, and if they don't have the interpretation, it shouldn't be spoken. Because only if there's interpretation does everybody edified. You with me? Because it serves like prophecy. You can go through here and read those things. I don't want to get caught up in all that. But, which we'll see in a minute, the other gift of tongues is a prayer language, and it's the only gift of the Spirit that can be used to edify yourself, to build up your own spiritual house by your own use. That's a good thing. Because I don't know about you, I need that. Amen? But we'll see that again in just a minute. So, we've actually made more progress than I thought we were. So, prayer language. One, he talks about in verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, my mind is unfruitful. What then is the outcome? If shall I pray with the spirit, and I shall pray with the mind also. I shall sing with the spirit, and I shall sing with the mind also. Otherwise, if you bless in spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you're saying? For you are giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. All the gifts of the Spirit are given to give away. Tongues, this other gift of tongues, not the gift of tongues that's to be given as a public proclamation that requires an interpretation, therefore it carries the same purpose that prophecy does. It's a form of the prophetic word. But this gift of tongue, this prayer language thing, again, it's the only gift where you pray it. Every other gift you give away or you speak it. But this is the only one that says you actually pray it or sing it. Okay? Which makes there something unique about this. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. Now, what is he talking about? When you're in an assembly together, when it's the gifts to be given away. And greater is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, that the church may receive the edifying. But Paul does say, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Now, understand this. Over in chapter 12, verse 30, he differentiates the ministry gifts. He says, do all, are all prophets, are all apostles, are all have the gift of teaching, do all speak in tongues? He's talking about the gift that's brought to the body. Alrighty? That's like a prophecy. There's interpretation. But he says here, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Now, we all believe that the writers of the New Testament were inspired in the Bible by the Holy Spirit. So this may be the pen of Paul, but it's the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is God, right? So God just said, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. That's His wish for all of us. In chapter 14, verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. However, in the church, I desire to speak five words with my mind that I may instruct others also rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. What did he just do? Differentiate between private prayer language, which he just talked about in the verses before, and that which you give to the body for their edification. But Paul says that he valued praying in tongues so much. He said earlier, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Here he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, if the Apostle Paul valued that gift that much, I want to place the same value that Paul did. And again, this is the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. Prayer language is something we should thank God for, not be scared of or be weirded out about. Now, have you ever heard anybody abuse things like tongues? I have. I've also heard preachers abuse preaching. Doesn't mean that you never preach again. Some of you have accused me. My own brother has accused me often of preaching much longer than the anointing was there. You can out-preach the anointing. The anointing that your rear end carries, often my voice goes beyond. But I've heard people, I've seen people abuse ministry, healing gifts, and all kinds of stuff. We all have, right? So we want to be governed by Scripture, not by other people's experience. The issue with prayer language is it's just weird, because it doesn't make any sense. Well, of course it doesn't, because he said when you pray in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. And all this message is going to come down to one little part at the end, and that's the whole point of it. Which I could have just said, but I think it makes more sense. We learn a few things doing this. Alrighty? Now, what is this second gift of tongues? This personal gift of tongues that I can pray or sing that edifies me. What is this thing? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, if I speak with the tongues, this is the same word, of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. Now, is speaking in tongues or any other gift more than important than love? No. Because love, more than anything else, characterizes the true nature of who God is. So I'm not very impressed with somebody who can speak in tongues, who can prophesy, who can heal the sick, but they have all kind of weird motives in it. It's all about building themselves up in terms of looking good, being important, and they don't carry compassion. I'm not really impressed with somebody in a restaurant who's rude to a waiter, yet they can speak in tongues and prophesy and that kind of stuff. Neither is the Lord. You with me? If the ministry of Christ isn't an overflow of the character of Christ, you'll eventually no longer be used in the purposes of Christ. The enemy will take advantage of it. But he talks about the tongues of men and angels. Prayer language is a heavenly language, a language that the angels use. In 1 Corinthians 14, look at a few verses. This is first, let's see. Verse 2. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For one, no one understands, but in spirit, that's the language, literally, in spirit, speaks mysteries. In chapter 14, verse 14. Now, the first thing he uses is in spirit. Verse 14, he says, and if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. My mind is unfruitful. And in verse 15, he says, what is the outcome then? I shall pray with the Spirit. In spirit, my spirit, praying with the Spirit. And in verse 16 again, otherwise, if you bless in spirit. There's a place in Jude 20, which we'll see in a couple of minutes, where he says, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, is literally praying in spirit. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, talks about praying. And he says, and praying in the Spirit at all times. It's not, again, it literally is praying in spirit. So what he's talking about here is spiritual language that's coming forth in union with the Holy Spirit. Because at some points he says, in my spirit, with my spirit, or in spirit, or with the Holy Spirit. What is it? Yes. It's a spiritual language. It's a heavenly language. All right? Now, What happens when we pray in tongues? He says, and again, let me read these verses to you from verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I shall pray in the spirit or with the spirit, and I shall pray with the mind also. I shall sing with the spirit, and I shall sing with the mind also. What does it mean to sing with your mind? Like we just did a few minutes ago. But sometimes we sing in with the spirit too. Otherwise, if you bless in the spirit only, how will one who fills the place of the ungifted say the amen that you're giving of thanks, since he does not know what you're saying? For you are giving thanks well enough, but the other man didn't understand, so he's not blessed. What happens when you pray in tongues? You're blessing God. Prayer language is a language, a heavenly language of praise and giving thanks. That's what he says. You with me? And he says twice here that when you pray in tongues, you pray to God. Now, here sometimes people go, well, I'm doing spiritual warfare with tongues. Well, if you mean by spiritual warfare with tongues, that you're praying at the enemy, that's not a proper use of tongues. He says when we pray in tongues, we're praying to God. It's a language of praise and giving thanks. We're blessing God. Now, that can do a lot of damage to the enemy. So I don't have any problem with somebody in their private prayer life going at it in tongues and they believe it's warfare, because nothing does more damage to the enemy, just like 2 Chronicles 20, when you're praising God and you're blessing God. The second thing about prayer language. One, it's a language of praise. It's a heavenly language. It's a spirit language. It's a language of praise, giving thanks, blessing God. It's also speaking mysteries. That's what he says, verse 2. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in spirit he speaks mysteries. You know, one of the things I want to see, I want you to kind of understand what this is all about and why what happens, happens. Verse 4, the one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. The one who prophesies edifies the church. Let me read Jude 20 to you again. I didn't read it to you before. I quoted part of it. And then I'll kind of put some pieces together. Jude 20 says this. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in Holy Spirit. Same language that's used all through chapter 14. When I pray in tongues, I'm praising God, I'm blessing God with a heavenly language. I'm giving thanks to God. I'm speaking and singing in mysteries, spiritual mysteries. And the result of it is it edifies me, it builds me up and builds up my most holy faith. When I pray in tongues, when you pray in tongues, you're connecting to the spirit realm and not just the rational realm. Because he says that when you pray in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I need this to be turned off. Because on this level, I can't reach faith at all. Because nothing I see helps me get to a place of faith. And you see, I want to get to a place of not just faith, but childlike faith, because Jesus said, unless you change and become like little children, you'll not explore the kingdom of God. Well, see, breakthroughs is about going, experiencing more and more of the kingdom of God. It's already ours. It's here. But we're not always there. You know? And so when I pray in tongues, I'm praising God. Anytime I praise God, have you ever gone to a place and actually given yourself to praise, and after a season you didn't feel built up? Because I'll tell you something about praise, what it does. This is a cool verse from Psalm 71. Verse 14. But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. Having continual hope and praising God are connected. Just recently, we were encouraged somebody who's struggling with some issues and some depression issues and said, well, just pray in tongues. Turn your head off. Let your mind be unfruitful. Because a lot of the fruit that comes out of your mind is not very healthy. You know? And just praise in tongues. Just praise God. And remember, it's the purest form of praise we can participate in. Well, it's a pure form of praise. I'll take that back. When I can praise God in English and know what I'm saying, though I don't feel like it, that ravishes God's heart. Like we've said this before, that, see, one of the things about here that's better than heaven, there's some things here you'll never get to do in heaven. You'll never get to praise God, even though you don't feel like it, in heaven. And that's an expression of love that we can give Him here that we can't give Him in heaven. Because you won't have any places in heaven where there's confusion or pain. No sorrows, no tears. But sometimes it's so bad, the easiest thing in the world for me is to just pray in tongues. And I want to be like Paul. I speak in tongues. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, tongues is not just my emergency prayer language. It's a gift from God. So I use it intermittently. When I pray and I spend time alone with the Lord, I praise God in English. I praise God, bless God in tongues. And it opens me up. The thing about praising God in tongues, because I'm speaking mysteries to Him on a spirit level, I'm praying in spirit, in the spirit, it opens me up to the spiritual realm and to the mysteries of the spiritual realm. And it builds me up in that realm. It cultivates in me a heavenly atmosphere and heavenly attitude and heavenly insight. It's a heavenly language of praise that suddenly begins to envelop me on the inside so that the eyes of my heart that Ephesians 1 talks about, the eyes of my heart are cultivated. And I'm seeing better in the spirit realm. I'm learning to see from heaven's perspective. It helps me to see from heaven's perspective. It gives me hope because I see things from God's perspective. Just because I'm praising God in a heavenly language, I'm blessing God, and suddenly I'm connecting on a spirit level instead of a rational mind level where fears and all that kind of stuff happen and doubts happen. And then I'm beginning to see from a spirit level and hope comes forth. And you know what happens when you have hope? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I come out of that place with faith, being built up in my most holy faith. You with me? Now, even if things are going great with you, I would say this is so important. Build yourself up. Advance as far as you can in the spirit realm. Because, you see, you're speaking mysteries, and therefore it opens you up to mysteries. And I find that often when I'm praying in tongues, God, the Holy Spirit, who's my tour guide into the deep things of God, He said He would take me into the deep things of God, the tour guide begins to show me things that I can't see if I'm just operating in the rational. I pick up on little things. I get a little insight about stuff that's going on that I couldn't, if I was just functioning on this level, I get distracted sometimes. But when I'm communicating in the realm of mystery, mysteries start to become normal for me. I'm being built up in my faith. I'm praising God. Remember what I said? That some of the things that God has shown me is that, you know, we have to have a mindset that believes we're hardwired for the miraculous, bringing heaven to earth, radical obedience. God obligates Himself to radical obedience. You know, prayer life from a righteous lifestyle. Praise and childlike faith. Well, in tongues, I'm praising God in this heavenly language. There's this place of mystery that's going on that starts to reduce me to childlikeness, because I don't do anything more childlike and childish than praying in tongues. It's the most childlike thing I do, because it's the dumbest thing I've ever done. Vivian knows, when I first got, when I received my prayer language, I got these short little syllables, su-da-ma-ka. But the whole time, you see, I kept thinking I was going to kind of levitate off the floor. But I just got these sounds. And it didn't make sense. It seemed stupid to me. And so I'm trying to understand it with my mind. And so I'm walking around going, su-da-ma-ka, su-da-ma-ka, that's not God. That's just dumb. I'm just making that up. Because I'm just engaged up here so much so. You know, but I couldn't get away from it either. You know, every once in a while, I'd go like off somewhere and I'd go, Sudamaka, Sudamaka. I'm going to tell Olivia, this isn't God, this isn't God. I'd be, Sudamaka, Sudamaka. Olivia would go, I hear you. No, it's not God. And then finally one day, we had this little trailer. We went out, I took the trailer out to Lake Lanier and camped out for a couple of days. And I just started talking to God. I said, Lord, this is, why is it so stupid? It's embarrassing. It's stupid. I'm really educated. And this is dumb. And the Lord took me that scripture. He said, yeah, it is. Your mind is unfruitful. Can you live with that? And then he said, remember, I don't know if you ever watched the movie Shogun. I liked parts of that movie. There's a part of that movie when the Westerner, you know, the Tom Cruise character, is trying to learn how to do the fighting. And he keeps getting his rear end kicked by the samurai. And finally, this young guy runs out to him and he says, stop. He says, stop. He says, what's wrong? He said, too many minds. He said, what do you mean? He said, too many minds. And he began to move intuitively. And what happens when you pray in tongues, because you're praying in spirit and you're praying mysteries, is that you become intuitive spiritually. You become much more intuitive on the spirit realm and picking up those things, and you become childlike. You're built up in your most holy faith. And holy faith is childlike faith, because that's what Jesus called for. So the conclusion I came to a few weeks ago is, wow. That's one of the things. That's part of breakthrough. If childlike faith, and the most childlike thing I do is praying to what happened to me. I didn't finish that part of the story. Finally, the Lord said, if your earthly fathers being evil, if you ask them for the Spirit and the things of the Spirit, would they give? Or you ask them for that, would they give you a square? Ask them for bread, would they give you a snake or a scorpion? And I went, no. He said, well, your Heavenly Father, you ask Him the things of the Spirit. You have to believe. I thought, wow. And I began to pray. And just began to grow like a river. You with me? And it's become one of the most precious Christmas gifts. Gifts. Christmas. We talk about gifts a lot, right? It's a great Christmas gift from God, because it's the one gift that you can use to bless God and praise God in such a way, on a mystery level and a spirit level, that begins to edify you, build up your own spiritual house, and you begin to grow in childlike faith. And you see, that's what I got a few weeks ago. This could have been the sermon. A few weeks ago, I was praying in tongues, and the Lord said to me, I was asking the Lord again about breakthrough, and He said, Lord, childlike faith. And He said, what you're doing right now is the most childish thing I've ever heard an adult do. And it cultivates childlike faith. That's one of the great precious things about tongues. It's so childlike, it cultivates childlike faith. And so I share that with you, because I would love for us to corporately, in your own personal prayer life, become much more oriented towards becoming intuitive and childlike in the Spirit. Because you see, faith doesn't happen in the head. It's with the heart, with the mouth we confess, but with the heart man believes. And one of the things that tongues does, praying in tongues, it helps cultivate heart so that head doesn't dominate. All right? Now, here's the thing I would say to you. We're not going to do anything to embarrass you or anything like that. Every one of you, if you're born again, you have a prayer language. You already do. God's not a respecter of person. You carry all the gifts, but you carry that one too, that personal one. The Scripture says that they spoke in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Didn't say the Holy Spirit lifted them off the floor, took over, and began to just scream through them. They spoke as He gave. They spoke. That's a deliberate act. They spoke as He gave. They spoke as He gave. This passage in Ephesians chapter 6. I wanted to read this one to you. After all the whole section of spiritual warfare ends, the armor of God thing, you know, when he gets to the end, and he says, and with all prayer and petition, pray at all times, praying at all times in the Spirit, or in Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance, petition for all the saints. So my prayer life's always mixed with praying at all times. I'm praying with the mind. I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm singing with my spirit. I'm singing with my mind. That's what I'm doing. I'm interjecting my petition and prayer with praise and blessing God. And you see, it says in Acts chapter 13, it says some of the leaders got with God, and they were doing, the word is liturgia, we get liturgy from, but basically it means they were blessing God. And as they were blessing God, fasting and blessing God, God broke through and said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Paul. That's how they got intuitive. That's how the Holy Spirit was able to speak to them. And so in my prayer life, man, I'm petitioning, crying out to God, blessing. You know, I'll praise, I'll sing in my mind, I'll pray. Then I'll just start praying in tongues. And at that point, I've stopped. I'm doing my heavenly language. I'm praising God, and I know I'm blessing God. You know, I'm giving thanks to Him. And the language of faith is always, thank you. I'm already engaged in the language of faith on a spirit level. And we've talked about this for years. The language of faith is thank you. So on a spirit level, I'm just thanking Him, blessing Him. I'm thanking Him for the breakthrough. I'm blessing Him. I'm praising Him. And all of a sudden, that which I'm doing in the spirit level begins to break out into my whole person. And I suddenly find myself becoming more and more childlike. So, this wonderful gift, there's nothing... Well, it is weird, but there's nothing. It's intentionally weird. Don't you understand that? God would like for us to get a little weird and not be so logical and rational. Right? You're plugging in the spirit level. One of the things I'd say to you, when you pray for people at the altar rail, just start praising God with tongues. And see if in speaking in mysteries, God didn't reveal some mysteries to you about that person. Or questions to ask them, or insight, or how to pray. In the atmosphere of praise and blessing God in mysteries, suddenly you're opened up to the heavenly realm, and He, the Holy Spirit, can say some things to you. Because you know what God always does? See, tongues is blessing God, praising God, giving thanks to God. God always inhabits the praises of His people. So when you pray in tongue, praise in tongue, sing in tongue, there's a habitation going on. That's really cool. All righty. So again, if this is you, and if you've not released your prayer language, when you come today to receive Eucharist, I simply want you to do this. I want you to thank Him for the gift of tongues that's already yours. And quietly, under your breath, it's not more spiritual if you're screaming. Quietly, under your breath, I believe God will release some weird little syllables and open your mouth and praise Him. What one of the great Episcopal leaders in the charismatic movement of the Episcopal Church, Terry Fulham, used to say, he would pray for people to receive or release their prayer language. You've already received it. Release it. He would always tell them, I want you to simply do this. I want you to open your mouth, and I want you to praise God, but not in English. He said, open your mouth, and by faith, praise God, but not in English. Yeah, but it sounds stupid. Yeah. It's supposed to. But it doesn't sound stupid to him. Okay? So we're not going to count. We're not going to do an altar call. We're not going to get numbers. How many people got? This is between you and the Lord, right? Don't stress about it. But I believe it's there. And I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord, I just thank you that every person here, they're born again. They've already received the prayer language. I pray as they come and receive Eucharist today, that God, that you would just release the heavenly language in them. The Holy Spirit, help them to step out in faith and to praise you, but not in English. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. That was fun, huh?